Hello and welcome to our service from the Church of the Epiphany for October the 20th, 2024. The flowers in the sanctuary today are to the glory of God and in loving memory of our dear mother and father, Don and Doris Kavanaugh, given by the family. We have some Canadian church calendars available. We have a number of things being drawn for. Handmade Afghan hockey, London Knights hockey tickets. And the cookie draw is coming up. And the details are in our email. Please remember our food cupboard. And the Penny Social. Big thanks to all who helped with that. That's Friday night. And we're going to be having a calendar planning meeting November 5th at 1 in the afternoon. We're having Remembrance Day at our cenotaph. And I'll let you read the rest of the announcements in our bulletin. Reminder that you can send your weekly donation or special donations to our envelope secretary, Barb Smallman. And now our opening. Eternal One, whose thoughts and ways are not ours, you alone are God, awesome, holy, and most high. School us in the ways of faith and wisdom, that we, like Job, may learn to truly see and hear, and in humility find blessing. Amen. And a reading from Mark. Warning to ambitious disciples. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said, "Appoint us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" And they replied, "We're able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to appoint, but is for those who, for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. Instead, whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many." And now a sermon. During the American Revolution, a man in civilian clothes rode past a group of soldiers repairing a small defensive barrier. Their leader was shouting instructions, but making no attempt to help them. Asked why by the rider, he retorted with great dignity, "Sir, I am a corporal." Stranger apologized, dismounted, proceeded to help the exhausted soldiers. Job done, he turned to the corporal and said, "Corporal, next time you have a job like this and not enough men to do it, go to your commander in chief and I'll come and help you again." With that, George Washington got back on his horse and rode away. Where did Washington learn such leadership skills? No doubt he learned them from the words of Jesus. "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." The young corporal had these words molded to him from the man at top, and the disciples likewise received from their leader the picture of servanthood. It's now 5 days before Jesus' crucifixion in our story. If the disciples are going to start adopting Jesus' teaching in their life, it ought to be now. But it doesn't happen. Moments before the most crucial events in their life, they're bickering, petty, bad-tempered, quarrelsome lot. We need to learn from this not-so-flattering moment in the life of the disciples. How is it that critical moments can be so close at hand, and they're wondering, "What's in this for me?" The disciples wanted position. As you read the Gospels, You come across numerous occasions when the disciples misunderstood Jesus' teaching, when their actions were inappropriate, when they jumped to conclusions that are way off the mark. Here is a unique situation, something a little different than their usual blunders. Within their own ranks, they're jockeying for position. Here's what happened. It is the last week of Jesus' life. James and John, two brothers born to a man named Zebedee, sense their opportunity to claim leadership positions. Calling his disciples together, Jesus tells his disciples, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you," Jesus said. "The kingdom of God will have no hierarchy. Don't fight to be the leader of all. Fight for the least position of all. Be a servant." James and John wanted status. "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left when you come into your glory," is the request of James and John. They want a piece of the action. They are thinking of earthly victory. They assumed that there would be great glory and honor given to the disciples who rode in the military victory over the Romans. Now, how, you might ask, did they think that little Israel could conquer the Empire of Rome? Well, one only needs to be reminded of David and Goliath and other Bible stories. There are plenty of examples of God's people overcoming impossible odds. But glory would not come through battle this time. Looking at James and John, Jesus said, "You don't know what you're asking, and it's not my right to grant you these seats. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared. They have to turn upside down everything." James and John thought the positions on Jesus' right and left were earthly positions of power, and they're not. Just exactly what Jesus means by these two positions is uncertain. Perhaps he means to the left and right of his cross where the two criminals were crucified. Or perhaps he means Moses and Elijah who stood with him on the Mount of the Transfiguration. Still yet, he might mean the positions beside him in heaven. It's not clear. One thing that is clear is that James and John have misunderstood what lies ahead. Prestige is not coming to the disciples. James and John wanted power. Notice the other 10 disciples become indignant when they heard that James and John were up to this. It was a power play, a strategic maneuver. The other disciples resented it. We're drawn to power, to wield it over one another. Jesus shows them that the real power resides in humble acts of service. Jesus calls the disciples around him. "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even so the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." Sort of like there is a story about three trees. The trees were talking in the forest one day about their dreams for the future. The first tree said it would like to be made into a cradle so that it might go on living as support for the fragile life of a tiny new baby. The second tree wanted to be made into a big ship so that it might go on living, carrying important cargo and influential people to exotic new lands. Third tree longed to stay right where it was, existing only as a tree, but growing ever taller, pointing even higher to remind everyone that there is a God in heaven who loves them. Those were their dreams. One wanted to be a cradle. One wanted to be a mighty ship. One wanted to be a tall tree pointing people toward God. But then one day, the woodcutters came and chopped down the three trees and destroyed their dreams. The first tree was not made into a cradle, but into a simple feeding trough, a manger for animals. But the manger was sold to a family in Bethlehem, and on the night Jesus was born, the simple feed box became the cradle for the Christ child. The second tree was built into a boat, but not the kind it had dreamed of, not a mighty ocean-going vessel, but a tiny, inexpensive fishing boat. A man named Simon Peter bought the boat, and on one warm afternoon, when the crowds pressed in, Jesus himself climbed aboard that small fishing boat that he might preach the good news to the multitudes and change the whole world. The third tree was also deprived of its dream. It wanted to remain standing tall and pointing toward God. Instead, it was cut down and shaped into a cross. But it was on that very cross that Jesus was crucified, a powerful reminder of God's eternal love for all people. The three trees were humbled, but in the plan of God, they were exalted. That's the way it works. When we, in humility, give ourselves to God as servants, our Lord can do great things through us and for us, greater than we can ask or imagine. And now our hymn.
All glory, Lord, and honor to thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children make sweet hosannas ring. Thou art the King of Israel, thou David's royal son, who in the Lord's name comest, the King and Blessed One. Sweet hosannas ring. The company of angels are praising thee on high, and we with all creation in chorus make reply. All glory. Sweet hosannas ring.
And now the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Descended the dead, on the third day rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He'll come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us now join together in praying. Creator God, you call us to love and serve you with mind, body, and spirit. Through loving your creation, our sisters and brothers, open our hearts in compassion and receive these petitions on behalf of the needs of the church and the world. And this day especially, we pray for Barry and Linda, Debbie, Jamie and Jackie, Paul, Suzanne and Peter, Kenny, Jim, Norma, Dave, Peter, Dan, Mike, Scott, and Lisa, Roger, Maxine, Wendy, Eric, Beverly, Sarah Jane, Linda, Jackie, Cam, Janice, and Darren. Holy One, hear our prayers, and make us faithful stewards of the fragile bounty of this earth, so that we may be entrusted with the riches of heaven. Amen. And now Jesus taught us, and so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God, from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And now our prayer based upon the scriptures today. Creator God, you are wrapped in light as a garment, clothed with honor and majesty. Enlighten us with true faith and humble obedience that seeks to serve others in your name. Amen. And now, a blessing from the Book of Common Prayer. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. And now, thank you for worshiping with us and our parting blessing song.
Thank you.